Genesis chapter 37, Genesis chapter 37. And we will be in a series on not last Sunday, but the Sunday before last. We preached on a sermon of what to do when you're waiting to rain. And so God pressed upon my heart to start a series called Waiting to Rain. And the series is going to kind of deal with what you have to do in order to reign. Amen. Genesis chapter 37. Chapter 37, it should be a familiar passage because this is the same scripture that we came from the Sunday before last. But don't run out. It's not a rerun. Amen. It's new. All new episode. But it's just the same scripture. Genesis 37, 5 through 8, read. One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before me." His brother responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Lord, I ask for your power to move through your servant, Lord, through this word. I ask for you to use me like only you can, Lord. Use me in the midst of my flaws. Use me in the midst of my weaknesses, Lord, and just use me however you want to use me. Decrease me where you need to decrease me, and just press me where you need to press me. But press your word out the way that you need it to be delivered. Not the way I want to deliver it. Not the way the crowd wants to hear it. Not the ones that have the tickling ears. But bring a word, Lord, a word from on high that will fall on good ground so that we may grow all the more in your word. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. The Bible has much to say about dreams and dreamers. Several characters in the Word of God have become well known and as a result of their dreams. Genesis chapter, I know you had 37 through 20, it should be 37 through 50, describes the dreams of Joseph and what it took to fulfill them. This message is designed to share what dreamers should be able to endure. Let's look at a couple of dreamers. Isaac was a dreamer. If you look in Genesis 28:12, he said, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descending on it." That's why we call it Jacob's ladder. A lot of people write that book, but look at this one. Genesis 31:11, we talk about Jacob. "And the angel of God spake unto him in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here I am." Pharaoh had a dream. "And it came to pass at the end of the 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river." We already know about Joseph. Let me talk about Nebuchadnezzar too. Daniel 2:1, "And the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him." Look at this. Before I get into this lesson, because so many people are so worried about Brother President, then we just look at Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream, and he was killing all the little boys that were born because he was trying to make sure that Moses didn't reign. Come on, somebody. But God still used him in the midst of his treacherousness. Come on, somebody. Gave him a dream, and the man of God interpreted it and became to rise to power to take care of everybody. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, took all the sacred things of God, continued to act like the sacred things were a joke. And that's why we say the writing is on the wall, because when he touched the things of God in a manner he shouldn't, Then Daniel came and said, look here, you're going to lose your mind up in here. Come on, somebody. And he touched it anyway, and the writing was on the wall, and he lost his mind and was out there eating like a little dog, crawling around with his fingernails so long it looked like the talons of an eagle. So you better stop worrying about who leading you. Stop worrying about what's going on, because God can even bring a vision through the most craziest of people. Some of y'all think I'm crazy, but he about to use me right now. Genesis 37:8 says, and his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Look here, dreamers should be able to endure disbelief. One, disbelief. You got to be able to deal with people who don't believe that you call. Lord Jesus, you got to be able to deal with people that don't believe what God is telling you. And you know, one of the main ways you can do that is to stop telling everybody your dream. Now, I love Joseph, and I use Joseph all the time because it's a great story. But I got to tell you, in some of the disagreements I have, if he just would have shut his mouth, sometimes he wouldn't have had as much hell as he had. Because when you begin to share your dreams in the embryonic stages of your dreams, that's the easiest time for people to mess you up. Sometimes you got to be quiet, just like Nehemiah. Nehemiah didn't tell anybody about the wall. He prayed about it for several months, almost a year. Then he took it to the king only when the king asked him about it. Then once he did that, he still didn't tell everybody. He only told key people what they're going to do with the dream. He only told the people that he trusted and people that trusted him. Stop telling people your dreams who you know don't like you. Stop telling people your dreams who you know already doubt you. But you have to learn how to deal with disbelief. So when the dream does get out, you got to be able to say, talk to the hand. Everybody not going to believe in you. Everybody not going to love you. It doesn't matter how much this church grows. It doesn't matter that 177 people joined last year. It don't matter that 30-something people been baptized. It don't matter that we done baptized almost 300 folk. Some folk ain't going to like me. Ever. Ever. If I did it, because only I did it, if only everybody believed me, we wouldn't do nothing. When we moved the city and we had a basketball tournament, folk was fussing about that. We brought the police and everybody together. Police were talking to young black boys. Young black boys were talking to the police and trying to build bridges. But people still was like, I don't know what his motive is. But what would I stop because you don't believe? When you go to your job, some folk don't believe in you. But you better go get your check. Or Sister Girl gonna be like, hold on now, little brother man. You better go nowhere. Okay, who don't like you? You have to be able to deal with disbelief. That people are not going to believe that God is using you because they see your flaws. They see your mess up. And even though they messed up, they ain't got no mirror. They only got pointing fingers. They don't look at themselves. You got to learn how to stay away from mess. And I learned this from Brother Preacher last night. He said, mess is miserable and evil people side by side. You got to be able to deal with miserable and evil people side by side. Because they're never going to believe you. And you know what? Let me tell you a secret. Some folk do believe. They just natural haters. And you know what the devil tries to do to you? He tries to put doubt in your mind. See, sin will slow you down. Now, come on now. We all fall short. Now, but in all your lying and all your cheating, and when you ask God for forgiveness, he'll forgive you and reign. Now, don't keep trying to do the same thing over and over. Because Paul said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Surely not. You understand? Where there's no repentance, there's no sacrifice. So you can't just be doing it because, like, you know what? I'm covered by the blood. No, you can't just do it on purpose. But what I'm saying is the only way that Satan really can stop you is to make you doubt yourself and doubt God. And that's why he has put people around you to continue to bring you down, to continue to talk about you, to continue to badmouth you, to continue to mess you up and make you not believe and make you doubt who you are in God. You understand? You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. God said, I will give you peace. The problem is we don't take it. He said, I'm going to give it to you in Philippians. I give you peace. Didn't he say that? He'll give it to you. He'll give you peace in your mind. He'll give you peace in your spirit. The problem is you got to stop listening to the disbelievers around you. You have to continue to believe what God has you to do before you stop. Anyway, he who began a good work in you shall do what? Finish it. You ain't got to finish it, but you got to keep doing it. He'll finish it. So what? You got to handle the disbelief. Genesis 37:23 says, and it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. Dreamers should be able to endure disrespect. Ooh, disrespect. Folk, you know folk ain't going to respect you all the time. You know it don't matter how young or old somebody is. If they disrespectful, that's the way they're going to be. And you got to stop trying to change it. Well, why they don't love me? Why you don't love me? Why you keep doing me like that? Handle disrespect. Everybody not going to respect you. Some folk come to see you. I'm going to tell you a story, and not so I won't have to use my own pulpit stories. Muhammad Ali was a boxer. Y'all know Muhammad Ali. You know what I'm saying? Smooth as a butterfly, sting like a bee. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You move like a butterfly, I mean, sting like a bee. Muhammad Ali, one the greatest fighter of all time. You see what I'm saying? I know you love Floyd Mayweather, but whatever. He could too. But Muhammad Ali said he would see this young lady out in the crowd every time he fought. She was on the front row. And one day he said to her, wow, you come to all my fights. I thank you. You're such a great fan. She said, no, I ain't here. I'm waiting for somebody to knock your, you know, BA out. She was paying for a ticket to be on the front row just because she wanted him to get knocked out. He thought she was a fan. Yeah, so you thought everybody that was in the front row clapping for you was a fan, didn't you? You thought they really loved you. But some folk trying to get beside you to continue to disrespect what it is God has in you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Do you know how much money it costs to sit on the front row of a boxing fight? Every time she spent her good money to be on the front row. Everybody at the front row of your promotion, not there because they happy. They're there because they don't respect what God is doing in you. And they want a front row seat when you fall. They wishing that you fall. And when you begin to discover some of the people you thought was cool with you and understand that they really are disrespecting you, you can't let it slow you down. You just got to understand that God said that he prepares a place for you in the presence of your enemies. If you don't have the presence of any enemies, then that's your crew that you ain't going to be blessed. If I didn't have a couple of enemies, I'd go recruit them. Tweet out for me. Maxwell needs some enemies. But don't worry, I got enough. Some of them right in here. I don't need no more. I'm just telling you. I got enough haters. I don't need now. One more. He prepares a place for you in the presence of your enemies. Don't look for everybody to respect you. Don't look. Who cares? Do what God has called you to do. You know what? You flawed. They hated Jesus. Oh, Jesus Christ. You know that the church put Jesus on the cross. He ain't do nothing wrong. And I know I'm flawed, so why am I getting mad when folk look at me crazy? They looked at Jesus crazy and he was perfect.
When you get to the point and realize that a perfect God was sent to the cross, and the funny thing about it is they knew who he was. Read the text. When they came to get Jesus, they bowed down and worshiped him and still took him to the cross. Nick at night, Nicodemus came to him in the middle of the night. He knew who he was. Caiaphas knew who he was. That's why they had a meeting without the whole Sanhedrin, and they met with a few folk. So they said, look at here. After he raised Lazarus from the dead, look, they're going to know who he is. We want our power. How can people be so greedy for power that they kill God himself, knowing he God? Knowing he the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Every prophecy of Isaiah had come to pass. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. They knew that he was the Messiah. Yet they still sent him to the cross. Paid Judas 30 pieces of silver, the same amount that it cost to free a slave. Paid him a slave's ransom. And when Judas tried to repent and bring the money back, they said, no, we don't want money on innocent blood. Now, didn't you just give him the money? You see what I'm saying? Some folk know who you are, but they're going to disrespect you anyhow because that's how they wired. They not going to change. You know what I learned? You be on a job about 3, 4, 5 years. You got to go Hail Melvin and the Blue Notes. Say, if you don't know me by now, you ain't gonna ever never know me. Huh? Ever never. Huh? Yeah. If I could sing like Stephon, I'd sing. If you don't. Nah, I ain't gonna try. Jesus. You gotta be able to handle disbelief. You got to be able to handle disrespect. It's funny, but it's true. I'm telling you now. There's another one. They say, they smile in your face. What? Woo, Jesus. Yeah. Numbers 37:24 says, number 3, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Dreamers should be able to endure discomfort. Discomfort. Look, they put him in a pit with no water. Come on, somebody. I know we don't like water, but you get thirsty enough. You ain't looking for no Kool-Aid all the time. Come on, somebody. He needed some. They put him in a pit with no water, no food. You got to be able to handle discomfort. Everybody not going to make you feel comfortable. Every aisle you walk down ain't going to be full of love. I'm going to tell y'all something. That's why you shouldn't even be shocked on your job. Some folk come to church, man. They come to church, and they don't like the pastor. So, of course, on your job, you're going to catch it too. You hear me? If I'm going to catch it at church, you're going to catch it on your job. You heard me? Huh? You hear me? You're going to have some problems. Everything you have not going to be comfortable. You see, the thing about it is, you know what God really is doing? He's building up a testimony. I told y'all before I became a preacher, before I became a pastor, I was used to write down stories and be like, oh, I'm going to remember this one because as a principal, this happened. This happened. And so, because, you know, I'm transparent. And, you know, if you don't stand up and tell on yourself, nobody will know you're a part of the story. Because, you know, I changed the name to protect the guilty. But what I kept doing was writing down stories because I wanted to be able to relate to the people. And I'm like, when I came here, I had books of stories. This. And when I got to my job, my church, the kingdom assignment, I was like, I don't need this pad. I got some fresh stories. I got some right now. By golly darn, I don't need to remember nothing. If I could just remember what happened to me yesterday, I'd be all right. You got to be able to handle discomfort. But you know that discomfort is God building an anointing in you so that you can be able to be a rescuer for somebody else. You know your misery will become your ministry. Whatever you came out of, it's easy for you to bring somebody out of. What better person to help somebody get out of alcoholism than a past alcoholic? What better person to get somebody out of prostitution than an ex-prostitute? What better person to tell somebody how to stop being going around, messing around with everybody but a player or whatever you call them? Let me talk to you for a minute. Whatever you're going through right now that's not comfortable, God is building a testimony in you. I don't understand. I'll be trying to talk to preachers that leave the ministry because they be like, well, the people don't love me. Everybody ain't going to love you. Stop looking at the 5 that don't love you and look at the 25 that do. Stop trying to find the folk. It's a psychological thing. What they call it, I forgot what they call it, but it's a psychological thing where people always try to run to the people that don't like them because they want their approval. Well, let me tell you something, baby. If God approves you, don't worry about it. If your Lord of Lords and King of Kings approve you, don't you worry about it. What you need to do is just gather up the data, get your testimony together, so when somebody else going through some mess, you can be able to tell them what's going on. Pastors leave because people don't love them. Because they think that it's going to be comfortable. Wherever there's people, there's going to be them discomfort. Because when you get promoted, they're wondering why they didn't get promoted. When you get an award, they're wondering why they didn't get an award. You feel me? You got to be able to handle discomfort. Can you stand to be blessed? Because God said he would give you 100-fold in this lifetime, but with what? Persecutions. Jesus said, in fact, they hated me without a cause, and I'm the master. They're going to hate you too. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. He said, don't you think it peculiar when you go through diamonds or different trials? Don't you call it peculiar when people mock and persecute you? You're a peculiar people. They gonna persecute you. They gonna come at you. You gotta be able to handle the discomfort. See, the problem is weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But can you endure the night? Do not get weary in good doing. Come on, somebody. Do not. But you will be rewarded in what? Your due season. If you what? Faint not. Faint not means don't quit. Keep pressing toward the mark of the holy call. Discomfort, it doesn't bother me. Because you got to understand, it's biblical. If somebody not bringing me discomfort, a blessing is not coming. God already said, he prepared the table in the presence of my enemies, so it's going to be uncomfortable. He already said you're going to get 100-fold in this lifetime with persecutions. So the minute I start seeing persecutions, oh, Lord, my blessing coming. See, what y'all need to start doing is stop crying. And when your enemies come, get your little bib ready. Put it down there, get your knife and your fork and say, we about to eat real good, baby, because it's some enemies encamped around me like a flood, and my God has promised me that he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. Bring out the good china, baby. Bring out the good wine. Bring out the best steak. Bring out me some pork and beef. Bring me whatever I need to eat, baby. I'm going to eat right. Don't you bring me no paper plate today, baby. Bring me the fine china. Can you handle the discomfort of being a dreamer? Disbelief from others. Just make sure you ain't the one that's not believing. Because the worst enemy you got is right between your ears, your mind. Your Egypt is your brain, your thoughts. Renew your mind, which is in Christ Jesus. And stop doubting yourself. The problem is, it ain't you doing it no way. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All right. Disrespect, discomfort. Now let's see what 39:7 says. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Dreamers should be able to handle or endure distractions. Distractions gonna come. Huh? His distraction was what? That brick house. She came at him, but he had to be able to what? Handle the distraction. There's some distractions that may have on some high heels. There's some distractions that may have on some nice ties. There's some distractions that may be jobs God ain't told you to take. Huh? Distractions. Before you get elevated, there are some distractions that you got to be able to handle. Can you handle the distractions? See, the distract. Can you stay focused on what it is God has you to do? And see, that's why he said, press toward the mark of the holy call. If the mark ain't that big. The way of the righteous is narrow. Wide is the way to destruction. You don't have. See, you know why people get mad at leaders? Some of y'all, just look at me right quick. Y'all get mad at leaders. Because as a leader, you got to say no more than you say yes. You see what I'm saying? See, Newbies Grove, not First Baptist Denby. First Baptist Denby, not Gethsemane. And some folks leave and go from church to church and come here or go there trying to do stuff the same way that it was done somewhere else. But God has a different mandate on each church. Remember when I first got here, y'all was like, write a vision. And I was like, I got here in September and it was October. And I said, I don't even know y'all yet. I can't write a vision. How can I write a vision for a people I don't know yet? You have to be focused. Each place has its own unique calling because God is infinite and we are finite. Every church can't do everything. Like when Reverend Gunn's always talking about, hey, man, come go. He get mad every year. I don't go on a mission trip. But somebody go, don't they, Sister Dawson? Yeah, somebody go. But I may not be the one to go, but that ain't my call. My call is not to go to Africa every year. And he go like 3 or 4 times. I don't want to go to Jamaica all the time. I don't want to go to Haiti every year. I go every now and then to make sure that since I'm a soldier that leading the church, I got to make sure I ain't scared and get all my shots so somebody else can get some shots and go. Now, I know as a leader, I got to lead by example, but my call is to the community. I can't let everybody else distract me and tell me who I am. You got to know who you are. Once you know who you are in God and God gives you a vision, you lay hold of that vision and stop letting everything distract you. The preacher got mad at me the other day and said, why you a volunteer chaplain? You know, really was trying to call me the uncle man. And I said, well, I am a chaplain because I make sure that I build bridges between the police and the community. And he said, but you on their payroll. Negro, I don't get paid. It's volunteer. I don't get one dime when I wake up at 3 a.m. going out there. I don't get paid not one dime when I go out there and violence is going on. I don't get paid. God told me to do it. And believe me, God told me to do it because it ain't like as a black man I had the best relationship with the police. I'd have been in the backseat of a car, check my record, it's clean, but I'd have been back there on more than one occasion for something I didn't even do while running while black. Just jogging down the street. That Negro that did it. Why? He's black. Go get him. I done been there before, but God told me what to do. And it's funny how the same people that talk about you go around and put organizations together to do the same thing God has mandated you to do. You got to stop worrying about what people think about you and be what God has called you to do. And you know why? Another reason I'm a chaplain, let something go wrong in the midst of my city where a police officer do something wrong to one of my citizens. You best know I'm going to be there. Why? Because I got a guaranteed seat in the house. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You got to be what God has called you to be and stop worrying about what the world is calling you. You can't put me in a box. I break the box. In fact, if I want a box, I'll be on my own and break that one too because God always breaks the mold when he calls you and put his hands on you. Do whatever God has called you to do. It don't matter what they're talking about. They're there just to distract you and get you off your post. Are you a watchman and watchwoman or are you a follower? Are you a soldier? Be able to handle the distraction because somebody always trying to tell you what you supposed to be. Well, when I first got here, you too nice. You too nice. And then when I had to find somebody, you too mean. Well, make up your mind, woman. My too nice, too mean. Pick one.
handle the distractions. Be able to stop looking at them. They're going to always be there. They're going to always be there. They ain't going nowhere. Huh? You know how that stalker, no matter how many times you tell them no, they're there. That's how your distractions are. They ain't going nowhere. The same way you finally ignore that dude that keep getting on your nerves, you got to learn how to ignore your distractions. All right, number five. Sorry, little baby. I stayed on that one too long. I do apologize. 39:10 says, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Dreamers should be able to endure discipline. You got to be able to be disciplined. You feel me? It's one thing to handle a distraction one or two times. Come on, somebody. But when that distraction keep coming, and you, let me tell you something about Satan. Satan ain't going to try to distract you in areas that ain't no temptation for you. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to distract you with that. If you don't like fat boys, ain't no fat boy coming. A skinny boy will. You feel me? He's going to distract you in the areas he know you weak in. You understand? But you got to be disciplined, because you know what? He don't never change his tricks. He come back another way with a different person, a different scenario, but they mainly the same. Why? Because he knows your weakness. He was there when you were made. He was the archangel over praise and worship. Every instrument was in him. All the praise was in the midst of him. That's, you feel me? I'm so glad. Clap for Brother Ricks. Clap for him. I'm so glad I got a minister of music. Don't be trying to get on my nerves. Huh? And I ain't saying the other ones did, but I'm just saying he the one here right now. So don't go here. You talk about you. Yeah, yeah. Because you know how messy y'all are, Jesus. But what I'm saying is some pastors always got problems with their minister of music. Why? Because Satan going to try to inhabit it with the music anyway. You know that? Because that's where he came from. You feel me? Huh? So you got to understand, Satan was there when you were made. He knows who you are. He knows you better than you know yourself. That's why you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, not yourself. The only way you can be disciplined is to look toward the hills on which cometh your help. The only way that you can endure it, if you know that the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Focus on the Holy Spirit to get you out of your mess and not yourself. He's the one who's able to keep you from falling. Him, and present you faultless before his glorious majesty, and do it with exceeding joy. The only wise God, he's the one that'll present you faultless, not yourself. See, you still got to do something, but you got to understand you can't depend on yourself. You got to do what God is telling you to do. You feel me? And when we say waiting to rain, remember what we said, the word waiting means serving. So you serving while you waiting to rain. Wait in Hebrew and Greek means to serve. That's why your server is called a waiter or waitress, because they're there to serve you, to wait on you. You understand what I'm saying? So as you're waiting, as you're serving God, these are points you have to understand. You have to begin to pass these tests before God can elevate you, because he loves you so much. As we said last week, he won't let fruit grow on your vine before it's time. That's why he said you'll be like a tree planted beside rivers of living water that yields fruit in what? Its season. God will not elevate you before your season, because when he plants you and you grow, he don't want the winter wind to take the fruit away. He wants to build your character up first. He wants to build your discipline up first. He want to get you able to handle situations, so when you get attacked, you can stand flat-footed. See, when I got here, some folk didn't know I had already been through hell. God had already had me to move. I had a house that I was going to get for $185,000 that had sold the year before for $600,000. I was going to buy that house, and God said, no, you can't buy it. So I don't worry about when people think I don't hear from God. If I heard God tell me not to get what I want, I hear him. So I went and God said, don't get the house, and told me to tell the church that I'm going to move in them slum apartments and take care of the community, because we need to do better with the people. And when I went over there, they said, what you need? Somewhere to live? And you know, my little arrogance did come out. Like, I got suits with my name on it. Of course I don't need nowhere to live. God told me to. Had a little attitude, because I didn't want to do it no how. But I did it. You feel me? And so I told you this story before. There was a dope dealer there, and I had called the police on him before. And one day he told me, I know you called the police on me. I was going to kill you, but you take care of my son. And he played basketball, and you keep him off the street, so I let it ride. And I was like, okay, thank you. Wasn't even scared. Why? Because the anointing was on me, and I knew as long as I'm doing for God, if you kill me right now, it's a free trip to heaven. Now, if I'm somewhere else, I don't know. But if I die for the Lord, I know I got my wings. You feel me? That same dope dealer came to me several months later, crying on my shoulder because his friend had got high and was going down 20 on the wrong way, had a head-on collision, and died instantly. See, but you can't get to that point until you learn how to handle your distractions and your discomfort. And so now that I handled all that, ain't nobody ever threatened to kill me yet. If you do that, I'm ready. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm telling you is God prepares you before you get to where you're going. So, you know, I might have got irritated by some attacks, but ain't no attack ever worse than somebody who you know got a gun that lives three doors down from you that take it that they wanted to kill you, but they said, no, they ain't going to kill you because you take care of your son. So the thing about it is you got to understand this. God protects you and everything happens for the good of those who are called according to what? His purpose. So because I was in my purpose, I was protected. See, I don't never get the big head and think God loves me so much and protects me from anonymous letters that go to senators and protects me from all these scandals. I don't get the big head and think it's me. Mm-mm. I know it's he protecting his purpose. As long as I'm doing what he tell me to do in the church and for the kingdom, he got to take care of me. Now, Maxwell started doing what Maxwell want to do. Maxwell done. All the attacks will end up being fruitful. See, the problem is, y'all think that the weapons won't be formed. He said weapons will be formed, but what? They won't prosper. You understand? So you got to be disciplined and understand that the attack may come, but it's not going to kill you. But he's preparing you now. See, you think the attack that you're going through now is for the job you at now. Mm-mm, it's something bigger than that, boo-boo. How they say? It's something bigger than that. He has a job way bigger, but he wants you to be able to handle the distractions and get to the point of discipline before he puts you where you are. If I would have never been able to take the point of attacks at home and take that, I would have never been able to handle the distractions here as a pastor. So, discipline. Ooh, Jesus, look at this though. 39, 14, and 20. Chapter 39 still. Chapter 39 of Genesis says, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. What? She called the men, Martin, then he got sent to jail. Dreamers should be able to handle, endure disappointment. He ain't even do nothing wrong. Huh? He ain't even do nothing wrong. He got sent to jail. But then when he got sent to jail, he still kept on working. See, this is the problem with some of us. When we get knocked down, we just stay down. When you get knocked down, get up. Get up. Get yourself back up. Donald McClurkin said, we fall down, but we get back up. That's all he kept saying, so you ought to get the point. But we get back up again. A saint is just a sinner that fell down and got back up again. Even when you're falling, it's your fault. Get back up. You know why God loved David so much and called him a man after God's own heart, even though he was crazy and sinful all the time? Come on, somebody. He called him a man after his own heart because when he messed up, he apologized to whoever and said, you know what, even if they don't forgive me, I'm not going to worry about it, but God, I've only sinned against you. He'll begin to praise God and say, I'm going to get back up and do what it is God has called me to do. He didn't never get down and stay down. He began to praise God in the midst of his mess and ask God for forgiveness and get right back out there. Do you understand that? you're going to be disappointed sometimes. Jesus even went to the cross. I'm sure he was disappointed. I know he said, forgive them for they know not what they do. But I'm sure he had disappointment in his heart, because at the end of the day, you know who I am. You read the scriptures, yet you still got me on the cross. Can you handle disappointments? Can you handle getting laid off? Can you handle getting demoted? You know what's the problem? I'm going to tell you what the problem with the church is today. The church is, we'll sit up there and miss church because of a football game. Huh? I'm going to be here even though the Falcons are in the Super Bowl. See, I throw it out there. But I'm going to be at church. See, back then, I just got to talk about the disappointment. See, we don't know how to sacrifice. Folk used to be sacrificing, maybe losing a job for doing boycotts. They might lose their life because they had a counter sitting in. I'm going to go back to Bible time too, or I'm going to let everybody. They might be about to get thrown in a fiery furnace because they won't bow down to the Pharaoh. All this stuff. But we like, oh, I can't do this because my shoes might get dirty. They feed me. What? I ain't going there. We don't learn. We don't know how to take disappointment. We don't know how to make sacrifices for the kingdom. We are too daggone selfish. We too selfish. Have the people. Let me tell you something. If I was doing this for a check, I wouldn't be here. Because Lord knows I had the check at the house was good. Check here good too, you're blessing me. But what I'm saying is, gotta talk to you for a minute. Y'all gotta understand, if you're doing anything for the kingdom, you gotta be doing it and willing to sacrifice. Because when I tell you right now, the more you do for God, the more Satan coming for you. That's why people don't want to do nothing. You know why half the folk getting mad at the sermons when I preach? Because it's there to make you better and build you up. They don't want to sacrifice who they are. They want to stay exactly the way they are. And they don't want to hear no word that's life changing. They want to stay the same. Don't you tell me I need to improve. Well, I'm telling you, I need to improve too. But some folk get mad because they think when you preaching to lift them up, you preaching to tear them down. Because they don't want to change. The problem is, we don't know as a church how to handle disappointment. We don't know how to sacrifice. If the meeting goes too long, we don't want to be there. But if the game going to overtime, we happy. We got our money worth today, bro. Let Ronda Rousey get knocked out in 90 seconds. You mad? Well, actually, it was 60 seconds. But... you mad because you done paid your money. You done invited all your friends over. You got popcorn and Kool-Aid and communion. And now? It only lasted 60 seconds. But you rather come to church. If it lasted for 60 seconds, everybody will be here. Can't we learn how to handle disappointments and sacrifice? When you're really doing something from the kingdom, you're going to be disappointed sometime. You're going to have to sacrifice something sometime. But do you understand that when you are obedient to God and you do what God has told you to do, he said he'll give 100-fold to you. He said if you sacrifice your house, your money, your job for the sake of the kingdom and the gospel of me, I'll give you 100-fold in this lifetime. He did say with persecution, but he did say I'll give it to you 100-fold. I'll give you a good measure of blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But the problem is with us, we can't get to that point because we don't know how to take disappointment and sacrifice anything for the kingdom. Some folk don't want the church to grow because they mad because they can't have their same seat. Genesis 41, 54 and 57. Genesis chapter 41, 54 and 57. And it's the last point. And the 7 years of dearth, well, that's bad news, began to come according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the lands. But in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. Mm-mm-mm. And all the countries came into Egypt, Joseph, for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Dreamers should be able to endure disasters. See, remember, Pharaoh had a dream. This is what broke Joseph out of jail. See, this is where discipline comes in. This is where sacrifice comes in. This is where being able to handle disappointment comes in. Remember, he had made, he had interpreted the dream of the baker and the cupbearer, and he gave the cupbearer good news and said, Pharaoh's going to restore you. So then the guy heard good news, so the baker said, well, tell me mine. And then he said, you're going to die, bro. You know what I'm saying? You got to be real with it. You got to be disciplined enough that even when you got to give somebody bad news, you give it to them. But anyway, so everything happened the way Joseph said it. So the baker, so the cupbearer finally remembered, hey, when Pharaoh had a dream, I know somebody that can tell dreams. He was locked up with me. And go get him. And I know he'll. Now, let me tell you something. Do you know where there are a few haters, you got a whole bunch of motivators? Do you know that this man had to have the utmost confidence in Joseph? Because you know good and well, if the king would have went and got Joseph, and Joseph didn't interpret that dream right, that cupbearer was going to be dead. You feel me? So Joseph came in, interpreted, and told him when the fat cows got ate up by the little skinny cows, that means the fat cows for 7 years, the seven fat cows represent the 7 years of good stuff, and 7 years of famine going to come after that. That's what the gaunt skinny cows represented. So that's why when the skinny cows ate the fat cows, that meant the famine was going to take over 7 years, even worse than the prosperous years. And he said, okay, so they got prepared. See, you know, when you are a dreamer, you got to be able to have a strategic plan. You got to be able to set some goals up and know where you're going. See, you got to know where the end is, but you got to be able to set some small goals. You see what I'm saying? So because he had already known, I got to store up some stuff, take this part and store this up. You know, you got to store up some stuff for a rainy day. It was amazing. Let me tell you something. I'm going to get out of here. God told me to save up this money. And I was like, oh, yeah, he going to let me open my real estate company. So I was saving money. Man, I saved up some good amount of money. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah, yeah. Boy, I'm finna start my real estate company right now. I'm ready. And then God said, all right, I need you to quit your job for a year and go to seminary full time. What? I wanted to say the devil is alive, but I knew it wasn't the devil. I knew it was God, so I wasn't going to get struck down. You feel me? So what I had to do was, God had told me to store all that stuff up and gave me that vision to do it. So then when it was some classes at ITC that I could take at night, and I had been taking night classes, but it was some that I couldn't take except in the daytime. I didn't even know that, but God knew that. So then when I left the job alone, everybody called me crazy, so I had to do the distraction. Mama thought I was crazy too. I said, I ain't going to ask you for no money, and I didn't. Lord, have mercy. I wanted to. But God took care of me. He sustained me. You know what I'm saying? And paid for the house, paid for the car, paid for everything, kept everything intact. Why? Because God had given me a vision to be able to handle the disaster. I'm just going to call it a disaster. To be able to handle the famine I was going to endure, because he told me, you know what? Quit your job. The problem is, what you have to understand is when God gives you a vision, if you be able to handle the distraction and get disciplined to do exactly what he told you to do, it'll be so much easier when he asks you to do something. Now, what if I never would have saved up the money like God was telling me? What if I never would have been obedient to God? Then I would have been around having to beg folk or whatever, because God wasn't going to let me. If I wouldn't have quit my job when he said it, God would have took the job anyhow. Yeah, I don't hear what I'm saying. You got to be able to be prepared for your vision when you a dreamer. Some of us have a dream, but we ain't working at it. Some of us want to be an engineer, but ain't went not to one school. You understand? Some of us want to be some things that we're not preparing ourselves to be. Can you handle the disaster? Are you ready for the bad years that's going to come in the midst of your vision, because people are going to attack you and ridicule you? Are you ready for it? See, you got to understand, all things happen for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. So you know what you need to do when something goes wrong in your life? Just say, thank you, Jesus. I must be closer to my destiny. Can you thank God for your disasters? Can you thank God for your setbacks? Can you thank God for your enemies? Because y'all don't understand what I'm saying. God is you a living testimony. Can you handle the disasters? God already told you. I'm going to keep saying it over and over again. He prepares a place before you in the presence of your enemies. You know what? That's a potential disaster. Huh? You understand that? Your enemy may come at you like a flood, but he's going to be there. That's a potential disaster. When the waters come over you, they won't overtake you. When the fire come at you, you won't be burned. That's a potential disaster. Can you handle it? The only way you can handle it is when you forge your relationship with God and get and understand that your vision is bigger than you. The vision that God has given you is bigger than you. So when people tweet about you, when people Facebook about you, you can't worry about it. Ain't that, you know what makes me comfortable with all that Facebook mess and lies and stuff? Folk died for the gospel. If all you got to deal with is a tweet and some no-life Facebook posts, you ain't dead. They were throwing folk in the fiery furnace, but we can't handle a tweet. Huh? That ain't that. And oh, Lord, they're talking about me on Instagram. Did they shoot you? Did they string you up with a rope and hang you? Did they put you on the cross? The disasters that we deal with in the 21st century church time are far less than the ones they endured. Every last disciple, except one of them, died a tragic death. All of them were murdered, killed, burned, put on a cross, hung upside down, tarred. And you worry about Facebook. You worried about Instagram. You worried about gossip on your job. The things that we deal with are so small. If you really read your word, you will be prepared for every disaster that comes your way, because most of our disaster ain't nowhere near what they had to go through in the embryonic stages of building up Christianity. You understand what I'm saying? They were on death row. They were killing Christians. They were crucifying them, taking them out the house if they thought they was a Christian. And you worrying about the small little inconveniences that Satan throws your way today. You better let Satan know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You better let Satan know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. You better let Satan know that he who began a good work in me shall finish it. You better know, tell Satan that, you know what, I don't care what disaster you bring toward me. God said, if I sacrifice anything for the gospel, if I sacrifice my reputation, if I sacrifice my car, if I sacrifice my job, if I sacrifice my living, if I sacrifice my reputation, that he will give me a blessing 100-fold in this lifetime. And I know some persecutions are going to come. You got to let Satan know that you ain't worried about it, because you'll get a good measure blessing, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, even in the midst of your disaster. You know why? Because my God said he prepares a place for me in the presence of my enemies. It don't matter what's going on in my life, my God is going to bless me. My God is going to take care of me. Even if I walk through the fire, I won't be burned. The water won't overtake me. I got a God that sticks closer than any brother. No, nothing can separate me from the love of my God. No height, no depth, no layoff, no sequester, no setback, no gossip, no scandal, no lie, no disenfranchisement, no racism, no sexism. Nothing can separate me from the love of my God. No Donald Trump, no Republican, no Democrat. Nothing can separate me. No gas price, no layoff. Hey, nothing can separate me from the love of my God. He loves me. Even when I don't love myself, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Even if you don't love me, he loves me. When I go through a disaster, I don't get mad. I hold up holy hands and I clap, because all things, not some, not a little bit, not most of them, but all things happen for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. If you lied on me, it was for my good. If you're tweeting on me right now, it's for my good. If you're lying on me on Facebook, it's for my good. If you got me fired from my job, it's for my good. My God is setting me up for a comeback. My God is setting me up for a blessing. Not just any blessing, but a good blessing. Press down, shake it together, and run it over. He is the author and finisher of my faith. Satan, you didn't write this. Hater, you didn't write this. Social media, you didn't write this. Election, you didn't write this. My boss, you didn't write this. But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he said that he who began a good work in me, he shall finish it. He is the author and finisher, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. My God shall supply all of my needs, and no weapon, no weapon, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm telling you right now, come on, haters. You got to look at the camera and tell them, come on, haters. Hey, my God has already told me that every good and perfect gift comes from my God. Look at here. You're going to go through disappointments. You're going to go through it. But what you got to learn is this. Everything you go through, the distractions, the discipline, discomfort, all of these things are put there to build character. To make sure that when he does elevate you to where he wants you to be, you'll be able to handle it, even if they on your board. You'll be able to handle it, even when they lead right beside you. You'll be able to handle it, even when the crowd is against you. He's building you up in the dark room, in the secret place. Well, nobody sees your pain. So when he brings you to the public stage, you will be able to come bring your poker face. And even if you're hurting, even if you're about to fall. You know one thing about boxers, they teach him how to stand. Have you ever seen a referee stop the fight? You like where they still standing up, where they already knocked out. But they didn't taught him how to stand in such a way. That's why I said, you know, I don't want nobody to run up on me. Before I'm 60, because I used to take them boxing classes. But they teach you how to stand. So that even if you're at the end of the round, you can at least stand up and you be knocked out on your feet. But if you can just get to your corner. Y'all know what I'm saying? See, this is what I'm saying. God is teaching you how to do what? Stand. When you're going through everything you could take, you threw every scripture you could throw, you took every blow you could take, God say, just stand. Don't quit in the midst of the disaster. Just stand. Don't get weary in your good doing. Because if you endure and faint not, if you endure and don't quit, if you endure and keep pressing, then you will be rewarded in your due season. I want you to know, don't faint not. Please don't faint. Faint not. Because he's the author and finisher of your faith. When you wait in the rain, you got to trust God that the stuff he allowing you to go through is just building you up. It hurt you if you ran track and you were training. Your practice hurt worse than the meets. It hurt you if you were training to be a boxer. Your practice, unless you lost, hurt worse than your boxing match. God is training you right now. He's training you so you'll be ready when he puts you in a position to reign. Learn whatever it is you need to learn right now. Pray to God and say, what lesson are you trying to teach me in the midst of this situation? And watch God begin to elevate you. We've been made to do it for a night. but joy will come in the morning. Don't quit before your joy comes. Don't abort the process. It's a process. We're going to learn more about this as we go through this series, so I'm not going to talk it to death. We're going to go to Sunday school.